Letter of Paul to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do not speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one cannot comprehend what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went up the mountain and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to teach them. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Do please sit. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome our pastoral care worker, Jo Wigley. I hope you all know who she is. Joe is your go-to person for pastoral care, and she does an amazing job, very much all behind the scenes. Joe, it's great to have you with us. We look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Well, good morning. It's such a privilege to be stood up here in front of you this morning, especially talking about this passage, Salt and Light. From the Sermon on the Mount, what the late Michael Green described as the Christian manifesto of the kingdom. Let's have a look at the context of this passage, about what Jesus meant within that context, and how we can apply his teaching to our lives today. I don't know about you, but I can visualize Jesus sat on the mountainside with his disciples gathered around him, all leaning in, listening with an intensity of a group of men who were being shown a whole new future. In verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." What did he mean by this? Why salt? It's a phrase we still hear today, isn't it? We'll say, "He's the salt of the earth, is Fred," and we'll mean that he's trustworthy, he's dependable, he's straightforward. So nowadays, salt does get a little bit of a bad press. You say salt, I think blood pressure. The chef Rick Stein, I don't know if you know him, but he can quite often be heard referring to the salt police as he picks up a handful of salt and throws it into the dish that he's preparing. But the reason that he's adding the salt to the dish is to have flavour, to add intensity. And and Jesus was saying to his disciples that he wanted them, and he wanted us as his disciples, to add flavour to society, intensity and substance. His flavour, his intensity and his substance. Another reason that Jesus might have used salt was because it had held value in the culture of the day. The Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. And the reason it was so valuable was because it was a preservative. Of course, there were no fridges back then. So things were preserved, the food was preserved with salt. So I Googled preserving food with salt, and this is what it says. Using salt to preserve food. Salting is used because most bacteria, fungi, and other potentially pathogenic organisms cannot survive in a highly salty environment. That tells us that salt keeps food good. It keeps it from getting infected and rotting. The bad things cannot survive in the salt. So when Jesus talked about his disciples being salt of the earth, he was meaning that they should be an integral part of his ministry. Their lives should act as a blessing to those around them. They should taste of Jesus. If they lost their saltiness, they would be ineffective, unable to enhance or preserve those who Jesus had come to save. Imagine a bag of crisps with no salt. You don't actually have to imagine, because I bet a lot of you remember those bags of crisps. I remember them, used to get them. They had no salt in, but they did have a little blue bag. And you'd rip the blue bag, it was made of paper, and sprinkle the salt over the bag of crisps. So the crisp tasted awful until you sprinkled the salt on them, and the salt would coat the crisps. And that's what Jesus wants his disciples to be like. He wants us to coat everything that we come in contact with us. He wants us to transform others by being like those grains of salt, spreading his goodness, his intensity, his flavor throughout our communities, our countries, and the world. When I was putting this talk together the other day, I stopped for a tea break, as you do, and went to put my mug in the dishwasher. And as I did, the light was shining, saying, "Please add salt to me." So as I was reaching into the cupboard to get the bag of salt that I was congratulating myself on remembering to buy, because I usually forget, as I pulled it out of the cupboard, the bag split. And, well, you've never seen so much salt in your life. And I stood there and looked at it and thought, there's got to be a sermon illustration here. But actually, there is, because that bag of salt was only a year big. It was really quite small. But once the bag had split, it spread everywhere. And I'm still finding grains of salt on my kitchen floor now. It took me a long time to clear it up. But it made me think that that's what Jesus wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be contained in our little boxes, in our little packets, you know, just mixing with our church friends. He wants us to go out into our community and spread his word and his joy throughout the community. Moving on to verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." What did he mean by that? Light's always been a positive message through the Bible. It's used to signify God, faith, holiness. We have candles in church, and they signify Christ being the light in the darkness. In John 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Light is essential if things are to thrive. Plants, vegetation, animals, human beings. We need light if we are to thrive. We need Jesus if we are to thrive. I think many of you will have been to our service at Christmas, the Nine Lessons and Carols. In the beginning of the service, the whole place is plunged into darkness, and one candle is lit. And as that candle is lit, some scripture is read by our very own Paul Hirons, and he reads it excellently, but within that scripture it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It's very beautiful and very powerful. But what always strikes me about that service, and also about the Christingle service, is how quickly the entire church is illuminated from that one candle. Because what happens is somebody, the people on the end of the line will have their candle lit. They'll turn to the next person and light their candle and so on and so on. We should be like those candles, drawing light from Christ and passing it on to others. John Piper described this really effectively when he said, "The light of Christ is the brightness of God shining on the retina of the human soul." Isn't that lovely? What would happen if the light wasn't shared? If we didn't turn to our neighbour and light their candle, the whole place would stay dark. Our instruction from Jesus is to be the light in this world. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We are." That word "are," A-R-E, a bit hard to understand because of my Yorkshire accent, but it's so important. Jesus is telling us, instructing us, commissioning us as his disciples to be salt and light. It's not an option. Being his disciples, we become his representatives here on earth. We are the salt of the world, of the earth. We are tasked by God to be integral, intense, flavor-filled protectors of God's kingdom. Our lives must be steeped in Jesus. Every aspect, every word, every thought, every action should come from him. When people encounter us, our lives should be to them what salt is to a dish of food. We are the light of the world. We must be the light in people's darkness by allowing his light to shine through us. Those disciples had Jesus with them. We also have Jesus with us in his gift to us of the Holy Spirit. In his strength, we can be salt and light. So finally, what does it look like in reality? Can we change the world by being salt and light? Yes, we can. Look at what William Wilberforce did, a man with a strong Christian faith who fought relentlessly for the abolition of the slave trade. And Lord Shaftesbury, devout Christian and social reformer. Both of these men did incredible things and changed the world for the better by being salt and light. I don't know about you, but I'm no William Wilberforce or Lord Shaftesbury. Being salt and light doesn't mean that we will change the world in the way they did necessarily. We can change the world in a more subtle way, one day at a time, one person at a time. The fact of the matter is, being salt and light looks completely different to each and every one of us. If anyone sat here now thinking, I can't be salt, I've got nothing to offer, I can't be salt and light. Well, I say that's rubbish, because Jesus said we are salt and light. God has given us gifts to use for his glory. You might pray earnestly and consistently for people that you hear about in your connect group or on the prayer chain or in the news. You are being salt and light. You may be a great listener, a great cook, a great baker. Often, you don't have to be a great anything in particular to enrich someone's life. You just need to show that you care. Bring the light of Jesus into their darkness, which can be something as simple as a smile and inquiring how they are. However, it may be that you're in a position to influence decisions that are being made in your company, in church, in the government, to promote biblical views and truth in a society that, if we're honest, must sometimes break God's heart. When Ollie and Jade's youngest daughter was in hospital, quite poorly, I went to pick up his other children from school in the minibus. Quite a few people came up to me and they said, "Isn't it great that they've got their faith? Isn't it great that the church are supporting them in such a way?" Now, doing that school run, I didn't realise it at the time, was me being salt and light. And anyone that made them a meal, that did their laundry, they were being salt and light. There's a lady who, I don't know this lady personally, but through a mutual friend, she makes lap quilts and she gives them to me to give to people who might need them, who are ill. And in the edge of the lap quilt is sewn a little label, and it says, "To share the love of Jesus." Now, that lady, I don't know her, she may never leave her house, but she's still being salt and light. Now, I know that many of you here are already being salt and light. Many of you have been salt and light to me. I just want you to encourage you to be empowered by this message. As you go into your weeks, ask God how he wants you to be salt and light. Because as his disciples, that is what we are to be, to our friends, our neighbours, our community, and the world. Amen.